from KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, the 27th Annual Fisheries Symposium is happening right now in Anchorage. A joint fisheries consultant is being considered by Kodiak's two governments, and how to upgrade your 32-footer. All coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Lowell Wakefield Fishery Symposium is going on right now in Anchorage. The theme for this, the 27th annual, is Fishing People of the North, Culture, Economies, and Management Responding to Change. It's being produced by the Alaska Sea Grant Program of the University of Alaska Fairbanks School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences. Kodiak fisherman Terry Haynes has been invited to sit on a panel addressing fishing community issues and ways they can remain viable as stocks and management changes.
My focus is on the ongoing tendency to move toward privatization as a management tool for our fisheries. I think that if we continue to go forward and privatize all the nation's fisheries, it's going to have a real effect on our fishing-dependent communities like Kodiak. And up to this point, we're still defining what our stakeholder status as a community is. And I think there are some mechanisms that we can make use of, like a regional fisheries association.
An opponent of fisheries privatization, Haynes said managers could take a lesson from Eleanor Ostrom, the 2009 Nobel laureate in economics.
Her work is on linking locally accessed resource sources to their local communities. And her point is that the people who live in the vicinity tend to manage resources better and more responsibly. And they have a real connection to the resource that, you know, both by way of being traditionally dependent and because they are the people who have the most knowledge and are just, you know, part of the resource. I think her work is really important as we go forward.
Since these symposia are geared towards academics, the presenters and the panels are often filled with academics. Haynes jokes he's not sure how a fisherman like him wound up being invited.
Oh, heck if I know. I guess they have to have a few actual fishermen in there. But I sure am looking forward to what I can learn from the other participants. They have people coming from pretty far away, different countries, and as long as you're in the Northern Hemisphere, I think, was their focus. And I'm really interested to see how different communities are looking forward and what their strategies are to try to remain economically viable as we start to go through these changes.
Other non-academics presenting at the forum include two elders from the Kenaitse Indian tribe, Sasha Lindgren and Claire Swan, both of whom will be giving keynote addresses. Other attendees come from Denmark, Norway, Canada, Russia, Japan, and Greenland. It runs through Saturday at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Anchorage. A joint Kodiak City and Kodiak Island Borough work group recommended a local fisheries expert as the top contender to advise local lawmakers on fisheries issues. But some assembly members and council members still are not convinced they want to hire a fisheries advisor at all. KMXC's Maggie Wall has more.
Members of the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly and the Kodiak City Council continue to have mixed opinions about a plan to hire a fisheries consultant to keep local decision makers abreast of fish issues that may affect the community. Last night, a four-member joint work group presented its recommended candidate for the position based on two proposals received in response to a recent request for a proposal. The work group recommended local fisheries expert and former Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner Denby Lloyd as the candidate for the position. Lloyd's firm, Alaska Resource Consultancy, was one of two that responded. The other was a Seattle law firm. Assemblywoman Sue Jeffrey said hiring a fisheries consultant was long overdue for a community whose backbone is fishing. City Councilman John Whidden said he was an early supporter of the idea, but now was rethinking his position for a couple of reasons.
One is that our fisheries user groups are very divisive in many times and often, as we all know, don't agree. There's a lot of conflict involved between the gear groups and in a number of ways. So just by our nature of our diverse fishery, you know, it's very difficult to reach any sort of harmonious agreement on anything.
But Jeffrey, a local set netter, said fishermen may disagree, but it's the Assembly's responsibility to look at the community as a whole, and that means keeping the fishing economy strong.
Fishermen are there to advocate for their particular fishery and their particular interest. I mean, that's what you do when you're in business. You advocate for yourself. And it's our job, I think, as elected officials, to advocate for the community as a whole. I would beg to say that if we don't try to strengthen, maintain our economic base, we'll have a hard time paying for education in landfills, much less paying for recreational facilities.
Councilman Gabriel Saravia said that he's not ready to support hiring a fisheries consultant. He said if it's important, fishermen can ask for it. Assemblywoman Louise Stutz, whose husband is a fisherman, had a similar take and said fishermen need to take ownership of local fish issues.
We are a fishing community. That's the mainstay of our community. But I don't hear anybody putting any onus on the fishermen. You know, this is their livelihood as well as the communities, and certainly they need to participate and they need to take some ownership of issues that are going to affect them and affect the stability of the community financially. And I believe that at this point in time, I'm not in favor of hiring someone to come in and inform us when we have a community full of fishermen that have that ability.
But Assemblywoman Carol Osterman said the community needs to quit being reactive and start being proactive on fish issues.
One of the things that I've seen in my short tenure on the Borough Assembly is that we have been extremely reactive to fisheries issues rather than being proactive. And the reason behind that has been lack of information. We have not known as the two entities what's happening, especially back in Washington, D.C., sometimes what's happening in Juneau or Anchorage. And it's been very detrimental to us to have to, in a panic, figure out how are we going to support or go against a particular issue because we didn't even know it was on the table.
In the end, the Borough Assembly and City Council decided that they would proceed forward until they reach a point where the issue can be voted up or voted down. To that end, they will prepare questions to ask Lloyd about his proposal and will meet again in a joint work session at some future date. I'm Maggie Wall.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Owners of smaller and older Bristol Bay drift boats now have an outline on how to upgrade their vessels into fish chilling machines. KDLG's Mike Mason has the story.
For decades, the sockeye salmon fishery in Bristol Bay was plagued by criticisms that the quality of many of the fish harvested and sold to processors was poor. That has changed in recent years with an added emphasis on chilling sockeye at the point of harvest. However, many of the vessels used in the fishery are older and smaller and are difficult to modify to use slush ice or refrigerated seawater systems. A couple of the bay's fishermen have written a report outlining how they took an old Rawson and turned it into what they're calling a fish chilling machine. The vessel is the Sea King. It's a Rawson built in 1979 and is owned and operated by Tim and Megan Gervais. They bought the Sea King in 2009, and that was the first year they fished the vessel. Megan Gervais is the captain of the Sea King. She says there were some challenges in using slush ice in 2009.
Number one, the time it took just to get the ice, which sometimes involved running across the district, either to the ice barge or to the tender.
The challenges associated with using slush ice on a small Rawson like the Sea King resulted in Tim and Megan Gervais deciding to install a submerged refrigerated seawater system in the fall of 2009. That project quickly turned into a demonstration project to see if an RSW system could be successfully installed on a Rawson. At first, Tim Gervais wanted to install an RSW system made by IMS, but he decided to utilize the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association-sponsored RSW discount program to install the system touted by Pacific West, which had just started moving into the Bristol Bay market. Tim Gervais admits it was challenging to put an RSW system on such a small vessel, but he says it has been worth it.
We're looking at paying our system off in 2.5 years. We did the justification figuring that we were going to be able to receive 25 cents a pound more for our product than dry fish, but in reality we're we're getting about 35 cents more a pound.
Tim and Megan Gervais have outlined their demonstration project, but an RSW system on their small Rawson, in a report titled Converting Smaller Bristol Bay Boats into Fish Chilling Machines. That report basically outlines the Sea King demonstration project, and it was presented earlier this year to the membership and the board of directors of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Gervais and the BBRSDA board are strong supporters of getting a higher percentage of the sockeye salmon pack that comes out of Bristol Bay chilled at the point of harvest.
We come out of a subsistence tradition where we live on the Yukon, so you're just used to like thinking of salmon as food, and somebody's going to eat this, you're going to take care of it because you're going to eat it, or your friend's going to eat it, or your grandma's going to eat it. And then when we came down to the bay in 2001, it was kind of an odd deal to see. I was like, people thought of fish in terms of money. And then we just were doing the 1,100-pound brailer weights on dry fish. It was like, wow, that just seemed disrespectful to treat the fish that way. But we just went with it because that's what everybody was doing.
Many of the newer, larger vessels that fish in Bristol Bay have RSW systems, but the vast majority of the smaller Rawsons and the Wegleys have yet to be upgraded. There are a number of reasons why, including the cost, the way individual fishermen fish, and a lack of a mandate for chilled fish from many processors. Gervais says space limitations on board smaller vessels also make it a challenge to use an RSW system. The Sea King is a functioning, working Bristol Bay drift vessel, despite the fact that it's over 30 years old. That makes it similar to a large number of vessels that fish in the bay, and Gervais says there's something good about being able to help fishermen keep their classic vessels on the water.
I mean, we just look at it from Megan and I's standpoint. It's like, so-and-so had a new boat built, and that's all neat and everything, but you already have these existing boats that can do the job, and if you can convert them over to be good slushing or RSW platforms, then I think that's just a better way to utilize resources. It's not like you need to go out and buy a whole new vessel to be able to compete with high quality.
The report outlining the RSW demonstration project on the Sea King can be downloaded for free from the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association website at bbrsda.com. The report includes detailed information on the economics of the project and the modifications necessary to the vessel to fit an RSW system. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
Well, here's another good reason to keep your fishing boat ship-shape and squared away. Last week, the commanding officer of a U.S. Navy destroyer was fired after he shot at a fishing boat off North Carolina, thinking it was a target vessel being towed for a gunnery exercise. Commander Mark Olson was relieved of command of the destroyer, the Sullivans, 3 weeks after the incident. Vice Admiral Daniel Holloway, the Second Fleet commander, said in a press release that he had lost confidence in Olson's ability to command. According to the Navy Times, Olson is the 18th commander to be fired by the Navy this year. Apparently, Olson mistook the unidentified fishing boat for a target and began shooting inert rounds at it. They landed close, but none struck the boat, and none of the fishermen on board were harmed.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company,
and by the Pebble Partnership, pursuing jobs and opportunities for Southwest Alaska. Find out more at pebblepartnership.com.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KMXT's Maggie Wall in Kodiak and KDLG's Mike Mason in Dillingham. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.